Don't you love having funny friends that get you into trouble? I was driving along with my friend Mark, and we're going to meet Adam Zwar for lunch, actually.
Adam Zwar.
Friend of the show. Who's
free for free. He's the guy who used to say free for free.
From Wilfred. He created Wilfred. Yeah. He created Lowdown.
Very talented man.
He created Aggie Uncles and Aunts. And,
one of the nicest people you could ever meet.
Squinters. Yeah, and he works. He's moved back to, you know, he's in Byron or something like that.
Anyway, oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's moved back.
Living the life, but they'd be, I don't know whether they still are by the time this comes out, but they're, they're a hot spot.
Anyway, we're driving to lunch, and Mark's a bit of a character. Mark O'Toole, you know, the tool man.
He's
Mark O'Toole, former stand-up.
Yeah, he's
a writer.
And by the way, oh, no, okay, carry on.
Comedy writer.
Yeah. No, I was going to say something, but I watched What's the Name again the other night and really enjoyed it.
What's that? What's the name? Fisk.
The Nugget.
Oh, The Nugget. You watched The Nugget.
We sat down. It's on Netflix.
Mm.
Did you know that?
Mm.
And put it on. Just watched the start of it. We couldn't stop watching it.
I was like, is it good?
I'm being serious. It's Castle-esque. It really is feel good.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is it has a different tilt. The world has a bit of a tilt to it. Everyone's a little bit off kilter.
True.
And the writing, the direction, the performances sort of are faithful to that. But they are people that charm you. They're up against it. They're good people. Yeah. Selena.
You watched the whole thing.
Oh, look, I'll be honest. We didn't watch it in one sitting.
Yeah, that's all right.
We watched it in three sittings.
Yeah.
And I said to Selena, do you want to watch the end of The Nugget? She goes, yeah. It finished. We went, that was a great film. And I'm being sincere.
Yeah,
it's
really
a great film. Yeah.
I'll pass it on to Bill Bennett because, you know, he's on Facebook.
What's happened to
Bill Bennett, the director? Yeah. Well, he did a few movies after that, and he always tended to more kind of serious stuff.
Right.
And then he did a documentary, actually. And now I said on Facebook to him the other day, we're friends on Facebook, Bill, what about The Nugget 2? Do the sequel.
Gee, great character.
Do the sequel. And, yep. Or TV series.
Yep.
You know, like Fargo spun off into it from a movie.
Oh,
The Nugget TV series. I'm available. I reckon Curry, who's the other lead, would be available.
Banner? He's available? What's he doing?
Well, he's pretty busy, you know.
Nah, what's he doing? He's doing something.
But he could give over 3 months of the year to do The Nugget.
Give back.
Nugget 2.
Yeah. Because anyway, he did that just before. He said, didn't he say, I'm going to do that before I go to live in or to do something?
He did. He'd already done Chopper. He'd just done Black Hawk Down.
Which you recommended he shouldn't do.
I said he shouldn't do Chopper, that's right. And I stand by my decision.
Yeah, good decision.
And then he was off to do The Hulk after. It was a long time. Right. It was like almost 20 years ago, The Nugget.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great movie. Sorry, good to hear.
So anyway, what you were saying, your friend, Mark O'Toole.
We were driving along, punt road, very busy road.
Yeah.
And then Big Stu, who's one of the dads at school, is a bit of a character.
Yep.
He, for example, he took me for a drive and he bought a very flash car. He doesn't have any more. He took me for a drive and I thought I was going to die because he would drive so fast.
Yeah.
Then started road raging some guy.
Mm.
I'm just like, I don't want to die on the Eastern Freeway with another dad from school.
Mm.
Anyway, he drives up next to me and he's like, he always yells that stuff, you know. He's like, hey, Dave! Mm. And Mark leans forward and yells into the window, I'm a male prostitute. And Big Stu goes, I know you are. Just drives off.
See?
See, don't you love?
There should be more of that.
There should be more of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gee, it made me laugh.
Yeah, because like with Mick Malloy,
he would do that kind of
thing. Well, we did it to him. We were going back from somewhere, and Jeff Stilson and I, home to bed, we had to drop him off at a pretty cool bar.
The
crowd was washing out onto the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was al fresco sort of style.
Yeah.
We dropped him off like, you know, mum and dad would drop him off. And as he walked off, we said something to the effect of, thanks for the drugs and the porn. Really appreciate it. But really loud. I think I was a bit more particular about the porn, I won't give the details of the type of porn that I referred to. But it just set him on his way.
That's funny. I love that stuff.
I love a bit of that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's just funny. You need more of it. I mean, I you know, I'm not a big one on practical jokes.
No.
When people think it's, you know, odd.
And we are recording this on April the 1st. It's April Fool's Day.
Is it today?
Yeah. Yeah, April Fool's Day today. So be careful what's happening out there.
So I could get caught.
You could. My 12-year-old was putting cushions on top of doors and stuff this morning. So you open a door and the cushion falls.
April Fool's Day. Hey, Dad. What? No. I'm getting married. What? Hey, Dad.
I'm pregnant.
Yeah. April Fool. Maybe we can
do an April Fool's joke here somewhere.
Drop one in.
And see if people know.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Just for... Because I don't like it when you exploit people's goodwill.
Caitlin Brooke's a big practical joker.
I remember she did one to Hughesy where she made him eat dog food.
Yeah.
She put something on toast.
No, she put wasabi on toast and said it was avocado. I was there. That was funny.
Oh,
she goes to extreme. She got an actor to deliver a legal writ saying that he had a child.
Oh, that's not funny.
That he had a child out of wedlock.
Did he go what? Did he go?
Oh, he freaked out. But Holly knew about it. His wife knew about it. It was her idea, I think. And then.
Yeah, but he's the one.
But she does it to him always on April the 1st, and he never.
He never picks it. Because I never know what day it is. What if he had a heart attack and keeled over? I mean, you know, you'd have to make. Well, the practical joke did go wrong, and unfortunately, Dave passed away.
Well, it can happen. Well, I remember I went to the cinema with Kate Lambert, and I came out. There was a bloody parking ticket on my car. I'm like, what?
She did it.
It was her ticket, yeah. Just put on my car. I ended up paying it and then.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good trick, isn't it? Because if you end up paying, you don't look at the rego. You just go, bang, I've been caught.
Practical jokes.
I was listening to George Clooney being interviewed on that show.
Oh, he loves them.
He loves them.
Yeah, he's always.
He did that one, the classic one, where he was living with, have we told it before, where he's living with a guy with a cat. And each day. He would sneak into the kitty litter and he'd take the poo out that the cat had done and throw it away. And the guy who owned the cat, who loved the cat,
couldn't work out what's going
on.
He's
going, I'm really, the cat's constipated. That's funny. Hasn't been in the toilet. And then anyway, he did it day after day after day. He got to it a week and then George Clooney squatted over a kitty litter.
Did a human poo.
Did a human poo. And the guy comes home and goes, the poor cat. He must have been in so much pain.
That's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
But that takes commitment.
Well, yeah.
To do that, I wouldn't do that.
You know what? It can go wrong because if you get caught halfway through, you're doing it. What are you doing? It's a joke. Yeah.
Right.
I remember one time we all went to the theatre with the family, mum and dad and the three boys. We didn't see them. Probably been Sound of Music or something. And although we were quite up. We were probably in our... I don't know what it was. We're in the city.
Right.
Anyway, we got there early and mum and dad came later. And we thought, well, we got 5 minutes just to spare. Let's go into the sex shop just for a bit of fun to look around.
Yes.
So we go into the sex shop, look around, la-di-da-di-da. I have a bit of a laugh and, you know, have a look at the stuff. As we walk out the door... Mum and dad walk down the street, so they see us coming out of the pawn shop.
Yeah.
And mum goes, I know you boys. You were just waiting there the whole time to play a practical joke to make it look like you'd just been to the pawn shop. And we went, We did. We didn't really go in there.
We used to do that one where we go to the Swagman once a year, which was a big theatre restaurant in the outer suburbs of Melbourne. And they had a guy hosting, like a guy in a bow tie. He'd get up and go, okay, we've got some birthdays today. And he'd read them out. And we'd always go, and Trevor O'Neill is 5 years old today. Where are you, Trevor? Trevor's like 14. He'd stand up. God, we pissed ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, they're done correctly.
Funny. That's no one funny. Gets hurt. No yeah. one gets hurt.
What's that one where you draw around a coin and you got to make the coin, roll it down your face, and then drop it into the thing?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, that's where you go. Can you do this? And you put a coin on a bit of paper, and then you put a pencil around it.
Yeah.
And then you get them to roll it down their face.
Yeah.
And what they do is they roll pencil and they end up with, and then they go, now do it around your eyes, now do it down this way. And you got to drop the coin from the end of your nose and drop it and try to get it into the circle that I just made.
Yeah, yeah.
And you end up looking like an idiot.
And it's all just about getting pencil on your face.
You go and have a look at the mirror. Go and have a look at the mirror. You look like an idiot. See a little pencil over your face. Yeah, that's great.
At high school, we had the HSC room where you could hang out and play records and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was right near the staff room. So we used to get a $2 note and glue it to the floor near the staff room and see which teacher would come in. Oh, God, $2.
Yeah, we used to put girly magazines out in the street in front of our house and then scrunch them up a bit and then and just make them, and then kids would walk past and then they'd sort of open up and see the girly. And we'd bang in the window, God, gotcha! Look at it, the girl!
More of it. Yeah. More of
it. What's the classic one where you go, okay, here's what you got to do. you have to put, see this funnel? I'm just going to put it down. You know this one?
No.
You put the funnel down the front of your pants, and then you have to put a coin on your head, right? And you got to lean right back, and then you got to very gently roll your head forward and try to land the coin
in your funnel.
In the funnel. And it's just ridiculous. While their head's back and they're slowly bringing forward, you just pour water down the funnel. Got ya. Yeah, you got me, but there's no real joke there. Now I've just got to look like I've wet myself for the rest of the night at your barbecue. Thanks very much for that.
Oh, I can hear the music. Thank God.
Save us for that.
Welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Woo! But look out.
Look out, guys.
I could have set up something very easily tonight.
Something could be happening.
Yeah. I'm just wary.
Who knows?
April Fool's Day.
Anyway, welcome to the show. It's Somehow Related. We get two topics. Got to work out how they're related. Should we get them off Sam? Why not? What are they, Sam?
Pigeon poop and the British crown.
The crown. Pigeon poop. I got shat on by a bird the other day.
Who was the person that came up with that's good luck?
Yeah, that's not good luck. It's just you're standing in the backyard and suddenly you feel this wet, slightly warm liquid.
Where did it get you?
It was on the head.
What did you do? Just brushed it through your hair a bit.
Oh, it's disgusting.
Did you go about your day? You're going to have a shower.
No, what about my day? I just wiped it off.
Well, Uncle Arthur, I don't know if you know Uncle Arthur. He used to have permanent bird shit on the back of his
head. Oh, he did too.
He had bird shit because of a bird. It's such a sad, sweet thing that Uncle Arthur had bird shit on his back because the bird's got up there, sat on his shot or done something and shat down the back of him.
He's the kind of guy that could have pigeons.
Yes.
You know, like pigeons
like
were-
Bill Laurie.
Yeah. Pigeon guy. There were guys in my neighbourhood when I grew up.
But every neighbourhood had a pigeon guy.
A pigeon guy. Yeah.
We had them up the street from us. And my brother bought some. And here's the trick. You buy them. You go, take them home.
They go back home.
They just fly back to his place. You go, this is the smartest, you know.
Yeah, up the road, Keith had them. The Pipers had them. And so he kept trying to sell them, but they kept coming back. So he cooked them. He cooked them. And they ate them.
Pigeon pie.
Yeah, my brother went around there on his way to Scouts and
are you enjoying your dinner?
Yeah, and he said, here, try some of this chicken. And then he said, it's pigeon.
Oh, that's fantastic. So who did that? Not your brother. Them.
Keith did it. Keith's still around.
Hello, Keith, if you're listening. Keith, I hope you're doing it right. But you're painting a picture of some a little bit perverse.
Keith and Kev and my dad, they're the two old guys in the street that are still around, basically. Keith and Kev.
But that's a bit weird, too. I mean, what's next?
Cook a pigeon.
Yeah, what's next? What are you going to...
Well, the dog or
the
cat.
Don't hang around the house too long. You don't want to come stay at my place. No, thanks.
Well, you can eat pigeon, though. You can eat it. It's just like eating a spatchcock, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
But we don't eat it in this society. But in plenty of other places, you can eat a pigeon.
Yeah. Where are our pigeons? They hang around. Where are they? Where are they? In
they're everywhere. They're like the
city square.
They're like the rats.
They're rats with wings.
The rats of the sky, aren't they?
They really are.
But, I mean, who can blame them? But I do... We watched that movie about pigeons in the war. They use them to, you know, take messages around.
What, 1,300 miles or something?
Amazing,
you know. And just you go, the birds are going, you know what, I'm pretty stupid, but I've got great direction.
Yeah.
I don't know much. I will probably get run over by a car at some stage. I know how to jump out of the way of a car. But if you want me to fly halfway around the world, I'm the man for the job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, There's good things about them. I'm just trying to think. Pigeons.
But you always go to that guy's house and have those little cages with the pigeons in them.
I know.
Yeah.
And then they have those ones with the big chests and they puff right out. They're the ones that I compete with this one. And then they have their wings clipped and, you know. We had some pigeons in Boytown.
Let them off. They were doves, weren't they?
Were they doves? Doves or pigeons? I apologize. Okay, wrong doves? Story. But anyway, the story was that we had in the film clip, we had to throw them up. We had them in the city, had to throw them up, and the guy goes, they'll just fly up the top of the above and they'll come back and I'll take them home again. And they didn't come back. They never came back. Did you get your pigeons back? No, you know what? They never came back. They're living up on the rafters at some warehouse.
Those animal handlers that turn up on movies. They're very similar to the zoo comes to you when you're in kids are in kinder. The guy turns up with a cage of the animals. They're a certain type of person, aren't they?
Yeah.
That has animals in cages and go.
You don't like to be judgmental, but yeah.
They're like, yeah, mate. They always live on a back block near Hillsville or
something. Yeah, they've got a little bit of acreage.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got all these animals and they're like, oh, yeah. Just handle her. She's fine. Just get her. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee, she's never done that before. Wow. Come on, Lulu. Just, hey, Lulu, settle down.
Hey, just grab her. Just grab her. Just hold
her like, hold just relax. Like, she knows that you're nervous.
Yeah.
I'm like, I am nervous. I'm trying to peck my freaking eyes out.
They're like bushmen kind of, aren't they?
It's
often women too. You see, they had a character on 30 Rock and it was so spot on, the woman that was playing it. I'm like, oh my God, that's exactly like the people that handle the animals on TV shows.
We were doing a Russell Coit and we had a handler. He was a snake handler. And of course, Russell Coit was doing his funny stuff, but Russell Coit had a funny joke to do to the people with the frog that he brought with him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "G'day, kids, what's happening? What's a frog's favourite drink?" And Russell Coit goes, "It's Coca-Cola." And the handler goes, "Well, now that's funny." That's it, you mate. Don't talk during the take. That's a good joke. Yeah, well, that's, to be honest, it's ironic. It's not
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, now that's a good joke. That's,
well, it appealed to him. Good on him.
But it was funny.
That's funny.
Not meant to laugh at that, mate. No, because
keep quiet.
Pigeons.
Pigeon poo. You know what? Pigeon poo.
Oh, pigeon poo. That's right. It's topic.
It's valuable because I read this in what the kids have got a history book. And there was a war between Chile and I think it's Bolivia in the 1800s over pigeon poo because they would fight over it because it was used as a resource. I can't remember what they used it for, like fertilizer or gunpowder maybe.
Really?
And they went to war. Yeah, it was a very it was a big war over land.
Meaning that any droppings?
Well, they wanted territory that had all the pigeon poo on it.
Because there are
may not have been pigeon poo, may have been any bird poo. But bird poo is valuable. It's valuable.
Because it must be, they must turn it into some sort of resource, some sort of.
Yeah, I think it's gunpowder or fertilizer. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense it was fertilizer. Yeah. Hey, here's a tip. Mm-hmm. Here's a tip for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If when they poo on your car, pigeons or any bird, you know what is kryptonite to bird poo?
What?
Windex.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, with Selena's car once, I went, I'll get that bird poo off, and you scrub a bit hard. And if you leave it there for a couple of days, it'll eat in, and if you take it off, you'll take the whole bit paint off. You'll take everything off.
What's that great old joke? This bird shat on me windscreen the other day. Won't be seeing her again.
It's terrible. But you know why that's bad? Because calling a girl a bird now is so... That is really inappropriate.
Well, what words can you use to call a woman a woman?
Oh,
a
nowadays, woman? Sheila?
No, Sheila, love, doll, bird, doll, sweetie, sweetheart, foxy.
Gorgeous.
But, I mean, I get doll occasionally, don't you, from an old lady in a sandwich shop. There you go, doll.
Yeah,
there you go,
doll.
Love.
Yeah.
There you go, sweetie. Oh, big guy, get big guy. There you go, big guy.
Yeah.
Champ.
Yeah.
Tiger. Asshole.
I get dickhead of it, yeah. Dickhead. Yeah. There you go, dickhead. What? You're just a dickhead. What, me? Yep, you.
It is funny when you hear someone say bird these days. It's like, those birds over there.
Yeah.
Someone said to me the other night, I went over that bird in the 70s. Normally an older man.
Of course, and let's be honest, that's what I am. I'm really old. I'm ready for the nursing home.
You weren't there in the Chile-Peruvian war.
No, I wasn't. But I wonder if they used pigeons during that war.
Oh, that's
because they didn't. Did we talk about this? Didn't they use it for sending? Didn't they go? Didn't some of the guys at the front line take pigeons with them?
Yeah, to send messages. Definitely. Yeah, there's a kids movie about it. I've seen the kids movie about it. Yeah,
send pizza.
really shit here. Been in this trench for months.
Yeah.
Oh, so how that, horrible.
And what you roll it up into a very thin.
And you stick it on their leg in that little tube.
A little tube.
Yeah, it's amazing, really.
It really is amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and then you pull it out, and then you go, here it is. Oh, it's got bird shit all over it. Can't read this.
Disgusting.
Those cages used to stink.
They did. And they stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they're out the back in the backyard in the shed. Well, let's do the British Crown.
I was only watching Margaret and Elizabeth last night on Netflix. It's a brand new thing.
Ooh.
I was watching it going, God, I've got old. I'm watching things about the royal
family. Is it a documentary or?
It's a documentary.
Documentary.
Because
I have seen The Crown. I'm a bit of an expert.
Oh, well, the great thing about The Crown, you get a little bit of melodrama, but you get a big dollop of history. Ooh. Especially that one about the pit, when the pit came down.
Oh, that was incredible. Tragic. In Wales, yeah.
That was just awful. Terrible. And the beautiful.
And also the fog, the London fog. Remember that one with the fog? No. Yeah, and there was when Churchill was in power, because they built all these power stations in the inner city, and it was a weather event where there was just a fog, and that didn't help all the pumping out all the smog. And, like, you know, 10 people died or something in road accidents because you couldn't see in front of you.
Mm.
The London fog. Yeah, it was really interesting.
So how much is the royal family worth?
Oh, millions. Aren't they the biggest landholder?
Yeah, it's something like 80 billion.
The Crown.
So what's his name? Redhead bloke and the other Sheila?
Harry. Meghan.
They're not getting any of that, are they?
No, he's got a new job. Did you read about his new job?
Is it Net?
No, he's got a job in a startup company as what's it called? It's not a diversity officer. That's the other thing. The Queen has now appointed a diversity officer in the royal family.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Don't want to argue with that.
She's going to get an Instagram account. What's she going to do next?
Yeah.
She's going to work. Well, he's got a job, and there was an article in the paper about how it's just like a non-job. It's one of these non-jobs that exist, you know, in corporations.
If you were in the royal family, right?
Yeah.
Just to say you were King Dave.
Yeah.
No, you'd be King David, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or Prince David.
You want to be Prince David. Would there be one thing that you could get done for you that you wouldn't normally ask to be done for you? Like,
oh,
would
wow.
you want your toothpaste on your tooth?
I think my toenails cut.
Oh, God.
Well, Prince Charles has someone that dresses him every day.
Someone dresses him, I know. I think he has his toothpaste put on his toothbrush or something. I mean, seriously.
Pathetic.
You know, but then
I don't know why Harry left.
And he has his shoelaces ironed.
That's
nothing
incredible.
Worse than a scrunched up shoelace. I need these ironed.
I was talking to someone yesterday who had lunch with John Elliott, and they bought out. And I could never remember who told me this, but I always quote it to my kids and other people when they ask. John Elliott had lunch with Prince Charles.
Yeah.
And the food came out, and it was coming out at different times. And Prince Charles said, "The rules are, if it's hot, you eat it straight away.
Yeah.
If it's cold, you wait." That's the rules of eating, apparently.
And you.
So there you go.
Yeah. Gee.
Imagine John Elliott would have been pissed.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
How are they? Birds over there.
Hey, pig's ass, Charles.
Because you know what they do? With a meal, tell me this is true or not. I think it is.
Mm.
After Christmas dinner, they weigh you.
What? In the royal family?
Yes.
What? Like a horse?
They weigh you to make sure that you've had a substantial amount of food.
No.
What a disgusting thing to do.
That's awful.
So you get on the scale, come to Christmas dinner, get on the scales. What are you coming in at? 95 kilos. Okay, make a note of that. Oh, they don't have accents, of course.
When will the British crown cease to exist, you reckon, and become like the Danish crown or the Netherlands, where they're just sort of like a bit of a novelty?
There's something you leave on the mantelpiece and look at.
Yeah, no power. Because they still have power.
Because with all that land, they're gonna and all that money, you know, they still you know what?
Maybe when
there'll be a shift when she goes.
Yes, there will be.
She's been on the throne for a long time.
I hope she's all right, Lizzie. Yeah.
You've been in there for a while.
I've been there for like 80 years on that throne. Well, she must be 70 years on that throne.
Yeah.
If she's almost 90. Ooh, 90
something. She was like early 20s, I think, when she went in there.
Oh, yeah. We know. We've seen The Crown. We're experts.
Yeah. And then, and you know, I dips my lid.
Mm.
If you met her, would you
dips my lid? Yeah.
Would you do a little bow?
I think you have to.
But what happens if you don't?
Well, then it's just rude.
They chop your head off?
I'm not.
You don't want to be. Look, you don't want to be rude. But, you know, and I'm respectful of what they've done and what they do for their country, and I'm respectful of the British.
Someone met Prince Philip and said his technique to talking to people was this. He'd say, "And how are you?" And you'd say, "I'm good." And he'd say, "And what do you do?" And you say, "I'm a comedian." You go, "The comedian! Ah, ha, ha, ha!" And he'd laugh and turn and talk to the next person in the group.
I met Fergie. I told you that.
Was that Fergie did that?
Fergie did it to me.
Fergie did it to you?
Yeah.
But see, this is someone who met Prince Charles told me this too, yes, or Prince Philip.
He's the real deal. He's front line. He's, yeah.
So they've,
yeah,
all learned it off him. That's been taught at royal school.
Yeah.
Start a conversation.
Isn't it something that didn't I teach it on this podcast?
I think you did.
Which is move on the laugh.
Move on the laugh. Get out on the laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about the bill. I own the restaurant. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, there you go. Look around. Knock the mic over.
That's right. Knocked the mic over. I dropped the mic. Yeah, no, she was at the opening of Foxtel.
Well, she would have been paid, though, to do that.
Yeah, well, you'd think so. Yeah. And then I'm at the table chatting to someone else, and she goes, I want to meet that gentleman there.
Mm.
And I went, yeah, rightio. Mm. So I come around, and I go, what am I talking about with Fergie?
Mm.
And I said something about she's written a book about a helicopter,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, that's right, Budgie the Helicopter.
Budgie the Helicopter. And I said, I'm halfway through it, quite enjoying it. Don't tell me the end.
Don't want to rush it.
Yeah. And
so tell me the helicopter dies in the end.
Oh, no. Is it going to be a film? You know, whatever. Did you do the audio version? And then we chatted for a moment. Then almost halfway through a sentence, she just turned around and carried on with her business. Like, hey, yeah. I went, hang on, sweetie. You called me
Hey, love.
I'm a busy man. If I get called over, I don't want to be, you know, just turned around.
You said to him, mate, that Fergie bird just frosted me.
Froze me out. Anyway, Fergie, she's probably a big listener of the show. Hello, Fergie, if you're listening. Probably is. Probably. And I wish you all the very best. She's doing all right. She's not with Andy anymore. Oh, Andy's in trouble.
Oh, I know. It's a whole, well, oh, you know, you watch the. We watch The Crown. We're experts. All the children are not great. Charles is very damaged.
Yeah.
Andrew, the only one, I liked Anne. I thought Anne was great.
I don't know much about Anne.
Anne was the horse rider.
She was
Philip's favourite.
She's the, hang on, how many kids has she got, the Queen?
Four. Andrew, Edward.
Edward's in the media, isn't
he? Charles. Yeah, he ran a media company for a while.
He seemed like he's a cool cat. He seems like he's all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Anne was rode horses, and her daughter was an Olympian horse rider. Yeah, Anne's daughter.
And why do you like her?
Well, she's funny in The Crown. She's the best. Anne's the best.
They do a really old joke in The Crown.
Yes.
Where?
It's Charles and Camilla.
Charles and this is when he is courting her.
Mm.
And they do the joke together.
At a party.
At a party. And it's about bear hunting or something.
Yeah, it's an old joke. Yeah.
Is it a good joke?
Yeah, it's a remember, good joke.
Yeah, and he tells it quite well. It goes on a bit. But yeah. If you were there, you're going, and you know. I mean, if Charles tells a joke, you do have to laugh pretty loud at the end, don't you? You've really got to. Yeah. You didn't laugh at the prince's joke. That'd be good thinking music.
Let's hear it now.
All right. Why not? So, Sam, if you can find that, I don't know when it was, but it was obviously it was before Di turns. Or maybe it was in that when Di was there and he was still seeing because he was seeing her. You know, at the same time.
Poor Di.
Yeah, poor Di.
She got a bloody bad end of the stick.
Yeah. So let's hear Prince Charles telling a joke he thought was... And look, it's a good joke, and he tells it well.
It's a good joke.
Does anyone know the story of the Russian bear hunter? A bear hunter goes deep into the Siberian woods. Suddenly, he sees...
an enormous bear.
The hunter raises his gun, and bang! He shoots. The bear disappears from view. Got him, he thinks. But then he feels a tap on the shoulder. He looks up to see the bear who says,
no one takes a shot at me and gets away with it. You have a choice. Either I can tear you to pieces and devour you now, or...
Or you can drop your trousers, bend over and let me have my way with you. The hunter pulls down his trousers and the bear does his worst. Afterwards, the hunter hobbles into town.
Somewhat bow-legged.
Yes. And he buys a much bigger gun and goes back into the woods.
And it isn't long before he sees the bear again. He raises his gun, bang, fires. But when the smoke clears,
the bear is nowhere to be seen. Got him, the hunter thinks. But a moment later, he feels another tap on the shoulder. And the bear says,
you know what to do.
Now, after the bear's done his worst, the hunter heads back in town again and buys an even bigger gun.
A bazooka?
Yes. He goes back into the woods, he sees the bear, he takes aim and fires. Boom!
But when the smoke clears, the hunter looks up to see the bear standing over him. And the bear says,
"You're not really in this for the hunting, are you?"
Was that a sincere laugh? Ooh, no, that was no. That's us being. We didn't want to have our heads chopped off.
They've used that joke in other movies too. Someone must like that joke. It appears in another thing I was watching. I'm like, oh,
you're not in it for the hunting. Is that
not in it for the hunting. Yeah.
It's a good joke. You know what? It's one of those jokes though that I always say, don't take a long road to an average view. And it's one of those jokes that goes probably a little bit too long because the tag isn't that good.
No.
And you can feel yourself going, you know what, mate, get to it because you're losing me.
Yeah.
And if you've lost me, then I'm gone, you know, and I'll just walk up and say, take that out of your repertoire.
Have we lost anyone today?
Yeah, I know. I am prone to do that. As I get older, I'm prone to do that.
Now, what's your guess? I'll have a guess. Pigeon poo.
Yeah.
It's something to do with maybe they went to war with Peru over the pigeon poo. Maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe it's not Chile. Maybe it's England and Peru.
Well, I'm not going to go with the idea that it's a positive thing. I'm going to go with a negative thing. And that if there was a tax on pigeon poo.
Oh, great. Yes.
Now, I don't know, in terms of maybe if you've got pigeons and they shat on your... Wouldn't it be terrible if you had a statue, right?
Yeah.
Like statue, like King Dave. Mm. King David.
My statue.
Your statue.
In the park.
And there were, and you're in a posture
yeah.
that was perfect for pigeons. Because I reckon if you're a statue builder...
Yeah.
And I say if you're a... No, you're not King David. You're a statue builder. I come around to your house and I go, "What are you building, Dave?" "Oh, I'm building a statue of..." Who was it of?
Captain Cook.
And I'll go, "Dave, pigeons get on there. Yes. Pigeons get on there. Don't have his arm out too far.
Yes.
Don't have his leg out
don't
too
have far. His funny hat on.
Don't have his funny hat on. Yeah. Anything where you can perch, a bird could have a good old..." Because nothing, it's really quite sad when you see this beautiful structure in the middle of a park and the man standing grandly on the horse with his back arched, ready to go into battle, and he got shit all over
him. You know, there's rules with statues if they're on a horse, if they're off a horse.
That's right.
Yeah, whether they died in battle, and there's all these sort of rules with statues. But remember in England, they had that whole thing where they got this, there was the anti slave owners, and they were ripping statues off and chucking them in the harbour and stuff.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And then they tried to attack Baden Powell's statue, which was in Bournemouth, maybe, but some locals put a guard around it.
The statue wars. Anyway, so we've had a crack.
What is the answer? Shall we find out?
In the 18th century, King George I of England decreed all pigeon droppings to be property of the crown. He even put guards at sites where the birds perched to enforce his edict. There was a practical reason for his order. Pigeon manure was used in making gunpowder.
Wow.
You were on the right track there. Yeah, you were saying it's a positive thing. They own the poo.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Imagine getting that on your will. You've got like 2 tons of poo. Oh,
God. And how... I mean, it's obvious, but... How did they first work that out?
That's a really good
what are you question. Doing? What are you doing to say out in your laboratory? Well, we've got some bird shit, and I'm going to see if there's anything in it, darling. I think there's more things you better. No,
pigeon poo. No. Okay. Now, first, I'm going to see if you can eat it. Nope, you can't eat it.
I'll spread it on some bread. No. Okay.
A bit of butter on it.
Can I make it?
What about a lotion for under your arm?
Oh, like that's good. Let me try that. Oh, no, that's not good. No.
What about downstairs for chafing, stopping chafing?
What about for an engine? Can we put it into an engine? Can we burn it?
Yeah.
Can we, does it as a balm for something?
Can we snort it? Is it like some kind of drug?
Oh, yeah. And the pigeons all the while are sitting over in the corner going, no wonder they make that noise, because they're going, you fucking idiot. you're playing with it. Or the pigeons get together and they go, hey, you know how we do what we do.
Yeah.
We shit on statues and stuff. Have you heard what they're doing with it?
What?
They're turning it into gunpowder.
Which is money. We're worth money, guys.
So just watch where you shit.
Yeah.
Don't make sure you go because it's big money.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna shit somewhere, you know when you're off delivering those messages, don't shit there. Come back here. I've got to. I'm 1,000 kilometers away. No. Come home and have a shit. because it's worth money and the Crown owns it.
And we can get a new cage and get all the bird food we want.
Yeah.
We have a bath every day if we can just keep the shit going.
Got to have a bit more. After hearing this, I have a little bit more respect for pigeons.
Pigeons, yeah, absolutely.
Jesus is a good show.
Oh, so informative. So informative.
It's so good.
You know, they're probably playing into a year 10 class somewhere. So hello to all the kids listening.
Have you ever have you been driving down the road and you're waiting for them to move?
Yeah. Toot the horn.
Well, and sometimes you can't.
They don't move.
Because you know the rule is it with roadkill. You're not allowed to swerve for roadkill.
No, not meant to.
And it's terrible. You're going, like crows are very talented. They'll go, I'm picking at it. I'll just move at the last moment and boom. But sometimes pigeons and doves.
Yeah. If there's grain on the road, that's what they're doing. They're too greedy. They can't look up. They're too greedy. They're like just eating the grain, apparently. That's what happens. Just eating the grain. Bang, you hit them.
Mm. Yeah, I'm just thinking about a great Gary Larson cartoon. It's not that funny, but it's what are those buzzards, the ones that circle you when you... The buzzards? The ones
and
they're down on the road. And one guy's eating the dead body or the dead animal. And the other one's going, bit of roadkill. Sun's out with your mates. Doesn't get any better than this.
That's pretty funny.